Accession number 29996, Mr. Mike Brown, Reel 2. Now, we're talking about your time at 58th Young Soldiers Training Regiment, Royal Armoured Corps at Bovington Camp from January 42 for about 6 months. Now, what anything else about the wireless course that you were on? Any other aspects?
Well, we used to have to tune these sets in. I think it was a 19 set and 11 set. And they had to be tuned in so you could send messages to hopefully the other people who were tuned in. And, you know, we got all right at that. And when I went actually to the next regiment, we had been taught how to do that, and a lot of them couldn't do it.
Now, any other courses?
Well, the final course, we went out with Bren Carriage. We went to Ringwood Forest and bivouacked out there, more or less pretending to be in action, you know. I had various schemes there.
What do you remember of that? What sort of things were you doing with the Bren Carriers?
Well, we were just camouflaging them and driving about in the town. Map reading we did, of course. Now, I think I probably should have said map reading came in perhaps the basic.
Okay.
We did map reading. You obviously had to be able to map read. We did map reading there. And sort of really living out under sort of possible active conditions. They weren't really, but I mean, theoretically.
So a bit like field craft.
That's really tactical. Yes.
Were you practicing attacking things, that sort of thing? Or was it
we were a bit of formation, but I can't really remember any more about it. I do know we went to Ringwood and it was very nice there.
Now, was that pretty well the end?
That was it. That would be about 6 months.
Now, what would you do for entertainment during that 6 months? I mean, you know, on the camp?
Yeah, well, they had the NAFI.
The canteen. What did that offer you?
Well, you could have your tea and bun, which, of course, was quite nice for us, really. Once a week, they always used to have some sort of entertainment. They had a man there who used, Harry Farmer, I think his name was, who used to play the organ, and I believe he was on the BBC several times. I seem to remember that. And, you know, you'd have sing-songs and things like that.
Now, was it a wet canteen? Did they serve beer as well?
They did, yes.
And were you allowed to drink?
Well, it's 18, yes. But I wasn't particularly interested, you know, but tea and something to eat. And I, of course, in the evenings early on in the basic training, we used to spend a lot of time cleaning our kit. Forgotten that bit.
Well, let's talk about that. Well, how did you prepare your kit for kit inspection? I mean, how far would you go?
Well, you had to get your boots. My boots were like glass, the toe cap.
Now, how did you get them like that?
With a bit of spit and polish, basically. Again and again and again. And, of course, all your buttons on your greatcoat all had to be polished. And I found later on, because mine had been polished so much, I didn't have to do them so often. They kept nicely, you know, nice and shiny.
Did you see the point in Bull?
Well, we'd all got to be clean and tidy. And I think, really, you can understand a certain extent that some people, there were people, of course, who were very slovenly, shall we say. And I think you had to have it like that. I always remember then we had to sign a book that said we'd had a bath once a week. I remember that. Presumably because people didn't have a bath very often, a lot of them, or a shower, whatever.
Would you ever get out, when after your basic, would you ever get out to the local villages, to Wool?
Well, we didn't go out a lot. There wasn't a lot there. We used to go to the cinema, son. There was a cinema, that's right, a cinema up in Wool, is it?
I think that's the nearest town.
Balling. Yeah. Well, at the top, anyhow. In actual fact, our lines were opposite where the Tank Museum is now. because I went back one to have a look at Tank Museum. And up the top of the hill were some more lines, but also the cinema, and there was a shop.
Was it a camp cinema then?
Yes, I suppose it was, really.
And what would you see there? What was popular amongst the lads?
I remember seeing that Chattanooga Choo Choo thing. I can't remember what it's called. But then you didn't really, you didn't have any choice. If you got time off, you probably went to the cinema for somewhere to go. And I remember going out one time with a friend. We went somewhere for tea at some cottage.
How did you get on with the local civilians, or did you not see
them? Not really see them.
Now, so you were there till when, would you say?
July, I would think.
And what then? What did you pass out as?
Trained, whatever. And we were then sent various regiments. We were all hoping to go to a tank regiment, the Royal Tank Regiment, but I was sent to the 110th RAC Regiment, which had been originally the 5th Battalion, the Border Regiment, infantry. And then they'd been in France and Dunkirk, come back. And then I imagine what happened at that time, they were short of RAC regiments, so they converted several. They were all, men were sent away on courses and things.
Now what happened there? Where were they when you joined?
Well, they were up at Skipton.
In Yorkshire?
In Yorkshire, and sleeping in a mill, which I remember. We got there at night, but I didn't know. A lot of the floorboards were missing. And we could easily have fallen down a hole. But we weren't there very long.
What were the billets? What was it like at the mill as a billet?
Well, all you had was a bed, a bunk.
Well, you actually had beds laid out?
No, there was bunks all around the room. It was an old disused mill. As I say, there were floorboards missing, and we used to go down and do PT in the street. I remember that, and go for a little run round us every morning.
Now, what was your reception like when you joined? I mean, how did they treat you? How did they behave?
Oh, they were... Because I think it was... a lot of them were still territorials. It wasn't quite the same as the regulars, you see. They were all friendly, but... They had their ways, border ways. We eventually fitted in. But we weren't there long before we went to a scheme. Went out on to Castle Bolton on the moors there. And we lived in tents for two or three weeks.
On the moors?
On the moors. Where,
which you remember the training. What were you doing up there?
Well, there, because I knew how to tune a wireless set, I was put in as a wireless operator. I think a lot of us, as I said earlier, we'd been taught how to tune wireless sets. And they were doing these schemes. I didn't really understand a lot of it.
I should have asked, what tank or...
That was a Valentine tank. The actual squadron had Valentine's and Churchill tanks. It was a mixture at that stage.
And which squadron were you in? It's 110 Regiment, but...
C Squadron.
So you were a wireless operator in a tank?
Yes, for that part.
Now, can you describe what the Valentine was like? I mean, do you see what I mean?
Yeah.
Because it's not a well-known tank now. What do you remember of it?
Funnily enough, I was at the... with my corps, we were at the Living Museum exhibition. And they had a Valentine tank there. And I said to the man, I used to drive one of those. Of course, this was the Mark something or other terrific. Well, it had a man, the driver in the front, and the turret held two people, the tank commander and gunner, and the wireless operator. as I remember. There's only three in the tank. Or was there four? Do you know, I'm stumped. I have a feeling there was a gunner and a tank commander.
So what did everybody do? So the driver?
The driver drove, the tank commander.
Now, you could do that, but you didn't.
I didn't, not at that stage. Well, not on the moors there. All we did was, I did the wireless operating. Because I...
And would you be the loader as well for the gunner?
Yes.
And then there'd be the commander, you think? But
commander,
you're not quite sure.
No, I'm pretty sure now. There must have been a commander. I think there was, yes. Memory's terrible, isn't it? And, but later on, I wanted to be a driver, you see, and after we returned, well, when we returned from the moors, we went to Hawes, Yorkshire village. Hawes, H-A-W-E-S, you know, it's a well-known, in Wensleydale. It's where my grandson went on his outward bound.
Now, what were you doing there?
Well, there we were living in a church hall, and there they wanted to sort us out because, you know, we'd joined fairly, you know, not very long ago, and I said I would like to be a driver mechanic. Oh, well, they didn't really have a course for that, so I became a gunner mechanic. With the promise that later on, I would be able to train as a driver mechanic.
Now, what was your training as a gunner mechanic then?
Well, really firing the gun, and the mechanic was looking after the engines.
And this gun was the?
2-pounder.
Same one as you?
Same one as before, you see.
You had a start on
it. Yes.
And how much training as a gunner mechanic did you get?
Well, not really much training. You picked it up as you went along, to be honest. And later on, because they were very short of driver mechanics, they didn't have enough. As a gunner mechanic, I was put in charge of a tank. I was given a tank to look after, you see.
So were you a gunner mechanic in a crew for a while before you were made?
Yes, yes.
Now, how did they form tank crews? I mean, in aeroplanes, they sort
of... I know they do. Well, these, I think it just happened. Someone posted you and you went, you know. It wasn't... I know what you're saying.
You
didn't pick your crew. You went where you were told, sort of thing, in a particular troop.
How did you get on with... Was it a close relationship with your tank?
Not really, because we didn't do an awful lot. As a crew, we didn't really do a lot.
So you didn't relate to them any differently from the rest of the lads?
No, we were all in the same troop, you know, we all used to do the same thing.
Now, what kind of thing were you doing at Hawes?
Again, we were going out on various schemes.
What were the schemes like? Do you remember in more detail what you'd actually do?
Well, we'd go out on the moors, and as far as I could see, we'd just drive about for quite a time. I don't remember a great deal else about them. I remember running. We used to go for quite a few runs there, running up and down the hills. I do remember that. But the actual gunnery part and the driving part, well, you just looked, most of the time you spent maintaining your tank.
Now tell me about that. What is the routine of maintaining?
Well,
your
there
tank?
Was a book. Then, and each day one you did something, day two you greased this, and day three you greased something else, and the next day you changed the filters or something. The trouble was, we were doing all this, and we weren't going anywhere. So we were very nearly bursting all the oil seals, pumping oil in and not sort of using them. Spent a lot of time doing maintenance.
What about, how are you getting on with the rest of the lads then?
All right, we never...
And did you think of promotion at all? Or?
Well, they were, it was, as I said, all these people, all the NCOs, to be honest, had all been, they'd been there since they were in the Territorial Army, I think, and there wasn't really much there for promotion. I didn't. I just got on.
When did you get your own tank then? What happened with this business of you becoming a tank commander?
Well, they were one of the commanders. I was responsible for a tank. And you know, you had to sign for all the tools and all this business. And you were responsible for actually doing the maintenance.
Oh, so you weren't the commander?
No. Just that I became a gunner mechanic, you see. Well, I was doing a driver mechanic's job as a gunner mechanic. I can't remember whether there was a difference in the pay. I know I used to get trade pay as a gunner mechanic.
And would you actually drive the tank then?
Oh, yes, used to drive it. And later on, we moved from Hawes to Otley, Catterick, and then Otley.
What was it like driving a Valentine?
I used to like driving because a Valentine tank, you sat in the middle. The driver sat bang in the middle. So we used to go over some of these very narrow bridges, and I had no trouble at all because I used to just sit bang in the middle. And there wasn't, someone said, poor, there wasn't much room that side. But I got it, I got quite good. I had quite a fast tank. I think it did 17 miles an hour or something, which was a shade faster than anybody else's.
And what was it like? Was it easy to steer it?
I suppose it was hard work. It's really, you know, the levers. It was all levers. It wasn't assisted in any way pneumatically. The Churchill did have a bit of.
Now, were you aware of how useless the Valentines were compared to some of the German tanks?
No, we didn't. We didn't know anything like that.
Now, so what happened next then?
Well, whilst...
You went to Catterick first.
We went to Catterick as a regiment and did more or less the same things, except we were in barracks as opposed to the church hall.
How did you find it at Catterick? Was it...
Not very nice. The only good thing about Catterick was you had a lovely camp theatre there.
Now tell me about, was that something you were interested in?
Well, yes, we used to go, some of us, you know, plays and various reviews and that sort of thing. It was quite nice.
Was it put on by the, were you part of the company or was it professional?
No, that was mainly professional there, Catterick, you see. It was a big, such a big camp, vast. I wasn't very happy because I went to see some relatives in Darlington, the ones that still had the timber business. And I was on about it, and they said, well, we helped supply some of the timber there in the First World War. I thought, I better not tell anybody that.
And then from there you went to?
We went to Otley, near Leeds. And when we were there...
Now, where were you staying there?
Oh, there was a camp, a new camp, brand new camp. Outside Otley, and it was called something or other park, I think. I can't remember.
Doesn't matter too much.
And it was a brand new camp. I mean, it was the smartest place we'd have been in. You know, the proper toilet, proper everything, cookhouses and everything. And it was really quite good. And whilst we were there, we were sort of changed into an advanced training camp. See, during all this time I've been in the 110th, every so often a draft would go off out to Africa. I couldn't go on it because I was too young to start with. And I did get on one once, and then it was cancelled. But when we got to Otley, it was changed to an advanced training camp for advanced training for people for tanks. They'd come and we'd take them out on the moors for a week. And one driver mechanic, as it were, or driver, would go with two or three tanks, look after two or three tanks, and they'd all be driven and worked by the trainees, you see. And that was quite good fun, going out there and looking after three tanks.
What do you remember of it? Or what sort of thing would you be up to?
Well, one of the things I remember, I'll never forget, was the brother, the chap who drove the carrier that had all the charging in, battery charging, I can't remember what it's called. We used to shoot off and buy eggs from the farmers. Or just road testing, you know, a bit of road testing. And we used to go and buy eggs, which of course were pretty, which were a luxury at that time. But we used to sleep in the bivouacs. And another thing I do remember, one particular place, it was quite dry and they were shooting off flares or something. And we had to stop because the moor caught light. Bit of a panic, and we went there with tanks and sort of went round in circles trying to ground up disturb the ground so as the flames wouldn't spread.
Make a sort of windbreak.
Yes, that's right, stop the running along the ground. I don't remember a great deal else. I remember driving down a steep hill at Pateley Bridge, very steep hill there, and a thing with a tank, I've forgotten. If you weren't careful, you got reverse steering when you were going down a hill.
Now, what do you mean by that?
Well, for steering a tank, when you pull the lever to stop a tank, there is a space between, a gap in time, between when the track is being driven and when it is being stopped. There's a fraction of a second in between when it's changed over. And if you were going down a hill, a steep hill, and you didn't do it quick enough, the tank could take over. And instead of you stopping it, it went faster in the little gap. And one or two of the stone walls were knocked down like that. We used to have to go and repair them.
Anything else about your time at Otley?
No.
So you're just basically training there?
Yes, it was.
How long did that last for?
Around about, when would that be? September? No, before then, August, I think. Apparently they decided the regiment would break up.
Now, why?
Well, I imagine, no one told us why, because things in Africa had changed. In fact, I think Africa had finished by about then. And they didn't want so many armoured corps regiments. I think the demand for tank people after Africa went down. And I think they found they got enough. So that is really when I went to the glider pilot.
So that was been 43. What do you know?
43.
And when about?
Well, I would say August-ish.
So August 43. So that would be just after Sicily.
Well, that's it. You see, no one tells me, but I guess it was because they didn't want the demand for armoured corps people was obviously gone down, hadn't it? After Africa.
Now, how did you come to volunteer for the glider pilot regiment, or what happened?
Well, we knew it was going to be broken up, the regiment, or we were told, or the rumour had. And somebody came round and talked about the parachute regiment, airborne forces and the parachute regiment, because to be honest, we didn't know much about it, if anything, you know. And I wasn't too sure. A lot of my friends went.
As parachutes?
Oh, yes.
Why not you?
And I hummed and hawed, and then on the notice board, an ACI came, volunteer for the glider pilot, which I knew absolutely nothing about. I'd heard there'd been gliders. But you had to have, algebra, I think it was, and trigonometry, or geometry anyhow. You had to have a little bit of Right, mathematical skill. I thought, oh, I might try for that. And if I don't get that, I shall go as a paratrooper.
So how did, what happened when you went for it? Where did you, you know, how did you actually apply? What happened?
Well, I filled in the form and went to see the CO, and I remember him saying, well, it's not the same as driving a tank, you know. And I said, no, I don't suppose it is. And we went to Air Crew Selection Board. About a dozen of us from the regiment went. There were other people went.
Now, where was that held at?
Doncaster. We slept on the in the grandstand at Doncaster.
Oh, the race course?
The race course. The front of the grandstand had all been filled in.
And this would be, what, August or a bit before?
No, this was later. This was, must have been September, October. You know, it all takes time. September, early October, September probably. And we went for the medical and general selection board.
And was the medical any stricter than what you were used to? Yeah,
well, you had to blow up the mercury, I remember that, and you had to hold your breath, and the hearing, they were very fussy. And I think about 12 of us went, and only 4 of us got through.
What about eyesight, colourblind?
Well, yes, all that was taken into account. You know, you had to be A1 plus, you know, for air crew. You really had at that stage.
Now, were there any other tests, mental tests or, you know?
Well, I think there must have been. I cannot remember. That bit I can't remember. I think we must have had written something. Well, just the general air crew test.
Anything else happened at the Air Crew Selection Board? Anything else they were after? Interviews? Anything
well, yes, we were all interviewed individually.
What were the interviews like? What, was it like this, or what were they after?
Well, they just wanted to see if you were interested, if you realised what you were letting yourself in for, and of course none of us did. Oh, yes, we can do that, you know. And I think it was just to check on things. As I say, out of the 12 that went, only 4 of us got through. And I think quite a few of those that didn't get through was some medical reason. You know, they were A1, but there was something somewhere, you know, perhaps their eyesight or their hearing or wasn't quite right. But it was quite a strict thing.
And how, so you were pleased to pass then, I presume?
Oh, yes, yes. Oh, yes, we were. 4 of us, I was very pleased. My friend particularly that I'd...
Who was your special friend?
Well, he was Corporal Swanson. He'd been in, originally, in came from Thurso, right up in the north. And he'd been in the Seaforth Highlanders at Fort George and all that he was on about. And then he transferred to the Border Regiment, where he was a corporal, and he used to be an instructor. And I remember him instructing me on the gearbox, of the Churchill gearbox and epicyclic gears. We got on very well together. But he didn't know a lot about maths. And I tried to teach him some things. And anyhow, he got through.
Now, what about... I should have asked that. You mentioned the Churchill. Had you changed tank, by the way?
No.
They're still on the Valentine.
Yes, but right, they had a Churchill tank. The squadron was mixed, and sometimes you helped on that. Later on, they reorganized things and put all the Churchills in another regiment of the brigade and all the Valentines in ours. They did just change it over for some... I mean, you'd have thought they'd have done that to start with, but...